So happy new year. Happy 2023. We're here. It's 2023. We're doing it. We're in it. Happy new year. Don't everybody get excited at once. It's crazy, right? It's fun. So glad you're here. If I hadn't met you, I'm Jason, watching online, Oconee 211, South Venue. Thank you for bearing the parking lot with us. We got some cool announcements about how we're going to expand some space in services coming in the next few weeks, so we'll let you know about that. But let me hop in right now like a photographer, like old school photographer with a big fancy lens. Any photographers in the room? We've got some great ones here at Bethlehem Church. When you move and adjust your lenses off the image of the person you're taking a picture of, you are adjusting it based on the light in the room, based on the atmosphere. You're moving these lenses, you're refocusing to get the best picture. Now, us amateur camera people right here like me, let me find it here, we use our iPhone. Anybody iPhone camera people? Yeah, that's the rest of us. It does it for itself. When you put it on a person, a picture, an image, it readjusts based on the setting. It refocuses for the best picture possible. We are inviting you as a body, individually, as the Church of Christ at Bethlehem Church, as we begin 2023, it's an invitation to refocus, if you will. As we look at life, as we engage in a new year, and it naturally happens. For most people, intuitively, this time of year, the new year, there's this sense of refocusing. Call it making a New Year's resolution. Call it making a plan. Call it setting a goal. There's something about this time of year where we think that's what we're going to do. So we're just kind of all going in on it. Right? It's what we're going to do. In fact, whether you write it on a piece of paper or just have a conversation with your spouse, you oftentimes at the beginning of a new year talk about some things. And if I could give you maybe a little criteria, this isn't in your notes, but what we do when we think about New Year's resolution or making a plan or stating a goal, we think through this year, I want to do more of this, all right? Maybe do more exercise, do more reading, right? Do more whatever. And then there's also this year we want to do less of this, less maybe eating sugar, right? Less consuming junk food, less binging Netflix at night, right? Until less staying up late, whatever. And the ultimate thing is we want to get better. I'll be better in our marriage at this. I'll be better as a husband, better as a spouse, better in my health. And ultimately, why? Because we want 2023 to be different. And so then you can part. That's all good. In fact, I would encourage you. I think it's kind of natural. You don't want to just exist. I think a healthy person oftentimes is taking self-evaluation and adjusting. But then what we do is in our compartmentalized life, we begin to go, okay, well, in my family life, we want to do more of this. In my health, we want to do less of this. With our finances, we want to get better. So we kind of divide the categories and compartments up, and here's a spiritual goal or here's a faith goal, right? And all I want to do, that's natural. Your pastor to you, 2023, our first Sunday together. All I want to do is encourage you. Ever how you do this, whether it be just in your own mind, whether you have somebody that holds you accountable or you write it down, put it in your note sheet, whatever it is, here's my encouragement. Everything is spiritual. Instead of just having spiritual goals or faith goals, this is me saying everything is spiritual. Why? Because it all matters to God. Why? Because it all matters to you. So if it matters to you, it matters to God. Let me say that again. We have a way of thinking, these are the things God really cares about. These are the things he don't. He really cares about church and really cares about Bible reading and really cares about prayer, really cares about me having good manners, really cares about me being nice, whatever. Throw it in there. And he doesn't really care. No. That's the myth our culture buys. As we start in 2023, I am saying to you, God cares about everything because everything matters to you on some level in your life. And if it matters to you, it matters to God. Church, are you with me? As we begin a new year, this is a reminder not to kind of go, well, these things matter to God and these things don't. Church, it all matters to God because you matter to God. In fact, if I could give you a real simple statement, it's not anything you've not ever heard, but maybe to remind, maybe to refresh, maybe to renew, here's what I would say. As you begin this year, this is your note sheet, Bethlehem Church app. Everything in my life matters to God because I matter to God. You are of utmost significance to the creator of the universe. Utmost significance. So for the first 4 weeks of January, we're going to begin in one chapter, because I think one chapter in the New Testament encompasses everything in the life of a believer. Romans 1 through 11 is the theology of the church. For 2,000 years of church history, what does the church believe? Romans 1 through 11 is the theology of the church. Romans 12, then, is what it looks like when Jesus transforms a life. Because of all that we have in the gospel, Romans 12 is a picture of a transformed life. And we're going to spend the month of January, verse by verse, just walking through Romans 12. In fact, today, I'm going to read Romans 12 over us, the whole chapter. I'm going to ask you across all of our campuses to stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. So everybody across all of our campuses. I normally teach in the ESV, the English Standard Version. That's what I normally do. I want to read God's Word to us and for us, and I'm actually going to read it from the Modern English Version. One of the first translations from Greek to English was by a guy named J.B. Phillips in the 30s, and he translated, trying to help his church understand from Greek to English, and it's just powerful. So I'm going to read Romans 12. This is God's church. Let me make sure. I want to start this year, but here, won't you hear? Listen to me. This is God's Word to us, and this is God's Word for us. This is life. All right? So Romans 12, we're going to read it. We'll break it down over the next few weeks. This is from the Modern English Version. With eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, give him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to him and acceptable by him. I love this. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. Hello. But let God remold your minds from within, that you may prove in practice, right, that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves toward the goal of true maturity. As your spiritual teacher, I give you this piece of advice to each one of you. Listen to this. Don't cherish exaggerated ideas of yourself or your importance. Woo! Let's breathe that in one time. Let me say this to you. Don't cherish exaggerated ideas of yourself or your importance. That's next week, by the way. But try to have a sane estimate of your capabilities by the light of the faith that God has given to you all. For just as you have many members in one physical body, and those members differ in their function, so we, though many in number, compose one body in Christ, and all are members of one another. Through the grace of God, we have different gifts. If our gift is preaching, let us preach to the limit of our vision. If it's serving others, let us concentrate on our serving. If it's teaching, give all we have to our teaching. Our gift is stimulating of the faith of others. Let us set ourselves to it. Let the man who is called to give freely. Let the man who wields authority think of his responsibility. And let the man who feels sympathy for his fellows act cheerfully. I love this. Let us have no imitation Christian love. Let us have a genuine break with evil and a real devotion to the good. Come on. All right. Let us have real warm affection for one another as between brothers, and a willingness to let the other man have the credit. Whoa. Well, that's crazy talk. A willingness to let the other man have the credit. Let us not allow slackness to spoil our work, and let us keep the fires of the Spirit burning as we do our work for God. Check this out. Base your happiness on your hope in Christ. When trials come, and they will, endure them patiently, steadfastly maintain the habit of prayer. Give freely to fellow Christians in want, never grudging a meal or a bed to those who need. And, oh, this is so good. And as for those who try to make your life a misery, no pointing fingers, bless them. Don't curse, bless. Share the happiness of those who are happy and the sorrow of those who are sad, right? Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn, weep with those who weep. Then listen to this. Live in harmony with each other. Don't become snobbish, hello, but take a real interest in ordinary people. I want you to breathe this next line in. Some of you dudes in the room right quick. Some of you ladies in the room. Some of you students in the room. Don't become set in your own opinions. Don't call it truth when it's your opinion, my friend. We'll come back to that the last week. Don't pay back a bad turn by a bad turn to anyone. Don't say it doesn't matter what other people think. But see that your public behavior is above criticism. It don't matter what other people think of me. It's not what Paul just said. As far as your responsibility goes, live at peace with everyone. Never take vengeance into your own hands. My dear friends, stand back and let God punish if he will. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. These are God's words. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap the coals of fire on his head. I'll explain that later. Don't allow yourself to be overpowered with evil. Take the offensive and overpower evil with good. This is God's word to us. This is God's word for us. You can be seated. Why Romans 12? The good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel, is meant to transform your life. And so until you begin to actually live your theology, what I mean by that is live what you actually say you believe, then the gospel has not finished its work of transformation. Then the gospel has not accomplished its purpose. Romans 12 is what a transformed life looks like. What does my life look like because, to borrow a word from last year, of Jesus, right? It's Romans chapter 12. What I value, how I relate, what I think matters, what my perspective is, how I love each other, what I make a big deal about, what I don't, because of Jesus. Romans 12 states it. In fact, if I could give our entire body, our entire congregation, Oconee 211, watching online, not here, listening on a podcast, running on a treadmill, because you missed today. I love you. See you next week, which not many people did miss today because the place has been full all day. I love New Year's. Honey, we're going to go to get a membership at the gym and get in shape. And we're serious this year. We're going to go to church every Sunday. I love it. I love it. Praise the Lord. See you in June. But I love it, okay? I love it. So let me say this. Let me say this, 2023, if I can encourage you, read Romans 12, one chapter for now, for the rest of January. For the rest of January, read this one chapter. Well, I've got something else I do. Great. Add this to it. Well, I got a devotional I do. I know it's a whole two paragraphs. You can add this chapter to it, right? Romans 12 is living and active. I challenge our church. I think your perspective and your view will shift. Romans 12, read it in a different version, right? Every day, read Romans chapter 12 and God will shape you and make you. That's my challenge to you. So for just a moment, I'm going to do this all series. I want to give you a refocused principle based off the first two verses of Romans, a refocused practice, right, and a refocused picture. All series, we're just going to go verse by verse through Romans 12. I want to give you a principle this morning. I want to give you a practice this year, and I want to give you a picture that sits in your mind. If you're taking notes, based off Romans 12, 1 and 2, the first two verses, here's what I want you to put down. Refocused principle number one as we begin a new year together. Can I say this to you? Two forces are constantly fighting each other. And your choices are never free from this conflict. If you're a Jesus follower, my friends, let me remind you, there are two forces constantly fighting each other in this world. And your choices are never free from this. This world is not a neutral place. I'll explain that statement. Because I think we get lulled into thinking this world's a neutral place. If you are a Jesus follower, you are following Jesus in a hostile and toxic environment. That's not just a statement about America in 2023. That's a biblical reality of life in a broken and fallen world. So your vehicle, your truck, your car, your gas-guzzling SUV, your rocking minivan, I don't have any of those. Your lawnmower, whatever you drive. If you're in neutral in your vehicle, you're fine as long as your driveway's flat. As long as your driveway's flat or where you parked is flat and you're in neutral, guess what? You're good. But if you're on a hill, if you're near a gully, ever how slight it may be, if you're near a cliff and it's not that vehicle, that truck, that car, that rocking minivan, that gas guzzling SUV, guess what? It's riding down the road. It's rolling down the road. Think about it. Neutral is the most unused gear you got in your car. Why? Your car, your truck, your SUV, right? Your minivan is meant to be in gear. If it's in neutral, most of the time you didn't intend it to be there. When it's in neutral, most of the time that wasn't the plan. You missed a gear along. What are you saying, Pastor? Here's what I'm saying. Look at me. This world is not a neutral place. It is forming. It is changing. It is forming, conforming your mind a certain direction. A certain direction. There is no such thing. The Bible talks about Satan as the prince of the air. Satan is a deceiver. He's a liar. He dulls your right perspective, distorts your opinions, distorts your reality, all to destroy our life. So Paul comes out and says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. This world is taking you somewhere. The patterns of this world, the thinking of this world, the values of this world, the pace of this world. Breathe in for a second. This world is shaping you. Paul says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. He gives us two commands, one negative and one positive. Because you don't live in a neutral world, what does that mean? Romans 12, 1 and 2. I could talk the whole series on just those two verses. I'm going to come back to them over and over again. But here's what he said. Stop. It's not your notes, just Jason talking. Stop allowing yourself to be molded by the influence and pressures of this present world system. That's what's happening in real time. What do you mean? Your thinking, your emotions, your perspective, your reasoning, your discernment, your rhythms, the pace of your life is being molded by the influences of this present world, because this world is not a neutral place. Don't be. He said, you got to stop. It's what's happening. You got to be aware of it. You got to be, well, then how do you do that? I hear you, don't be, right? But how do you do that? Then he says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is he saying? Allow God, again, this is just Jason talking. Allow God to completely change your inward thinking and outward behavior by surrendering day by day to God's Spirit at work in us. As simply as I can say it, you are being conformed from the outside in, or you are being giving yourself to being transformed from the inside out, one or the other. You are being in real time, this is what the Bible's saying, conformed, your values, your perspective, your peace is being conformed by the patterns of this world from the outside. And it's affecting inside. Or you are being transformed because you give yourself over to the work of the Spirit of God from the inside out. It's always happening. What does a transformed life look like, Jason? I thought that's what we were talking about. Someone who's been changed by Jesus understands, listen to me, there's two forces constantly fighting and your choices are never neutral. You have to make sure you are being conformed. Are you being transformed? Here's what I'm saying. You are never in neutral. Why? This world is rolling downhill. This world is not a neutral place. This world's speeding toward a cliff in a hurry, and it's conforming the patterns of our thinking. That's all Paul says. You got to be aware you're not neutral. Your life's not neutral. Parents, your kids' life is not neutral. They are being conformed, and you are either being conformed, molded. Paul says, being molded from the outside, and it's affecting your inside, or you are daily cooperating with the work the Spirit is doing inside to shape your outside. It's one or the other. You're never in neutral. Church, are you with me? So let me give you a practice. Let me give you a refocus practice. What do you mean? Here's the practice. Prayer and fasting contradict the patterns of this world. Those two words, prayer and fasting, are completely opposite. I mean, stand in contradiction to the patterns of this world. Let's talk about the patterns of this world real quick. It's real simple. What do you mean? When you say patterns of this world, loud, busy, image, noise, constant distraction, constant stimulation. Some of you think, I'm just chilling. You're not chilling if you're sitting here scrolling. You're being formed. Not chilling. I'm just hanging. No, you're not. You're being formed. Pace, hurry, loud, image, noise, church. This is a reminder. You know this. None of this is neutral. It is forming you on the inside. That's the pattern of this world. Prayer and fasting is cooperating with the Spirit of God. And I don't know if there's anything more opposite and there's anything harder to do in American culture than pray and fast. And I want to talk about that for a second. Some of us go, whoa, he's getting real deeply spiritual. No, he's not. He's actually just talking about what practices the people of God have done 2,000 years. Prayer and fasting is not deeply spiritual. Prayer and fasting is spiritual. It's what the people of God have done for 2,000 years. I don't think we live, I think we live in a time where it's so weird and opposite for us. Why is that? Because you've been conformed to the patterns of this world and its thinking. So we learned this last week, if you were watching Monday Night Football, we learned real quickly that our culture still has a framework for the word and the idea of prayer. So Mr. Hamlin had a cardiac arrest on the field. I'm sure you've heard by now in the ESPN Monday Night Football game. On the field, this guy has a heart attack, a cardiac arrest. Now, people have cardiac arrests and heart attacks all the time. And somebody goes, I don't know why we make such a big deal about this guy. Well, guess what? We don't normally see these things happen in real time on TV. So the idolatry of our day, many of us in this room have the idolatry of sports in our life. Just honestly, I love you, but you do. And so the idolatry of our day, sports, stopped at a screeching halt while a guy's life was on the line. And CPR literally being, my kids and I and Nan were sitting there watching it, praying for this guy. CPR actually happening on the field. And thank God that this guy seems to be doing well from what I see. But here was the crazy thing, watching the sportscasters, and to defend these guys, they're paid to talk about sports. And for about 40 minutes, here's what you heard on SportsCenter, ESPN. And they do the best they can. We just, our thoughts and prayers. Our prayers are with him. Our thoughts and prayers. Let's go over here to the field. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. Our thoughts and prayers. Our prayers and thoughts. Again, they were there to call a game. And they're in the middle of this, right? Who we pray into, how we pray, I don't know. But the framework our culture has for prayer, I was reminded of this, and I want you to lean in. We still understand the language of prayer in our society. And here's when you pray, and here's why you pray. You pray, and prayer is about doing something when you don't know what to do. That's what our understanding in our society is. Now, if we got it handled, we nailing it, mind our own business, we're good. But when you don't know what to do, you know what you better do? You better pray. Here's what I'm saying. That's our understanding in our society of prayer. God help us if that's the understanding of the people of God when it comes to prayer. Prayer is an invitation, a profound invitation from the Spirit of God. It's pausing the pace of our life to intentionally commune, talk, invite the presence of God. Now, here's what I want to say. I want the dudes in the room, the men in the room, I want you to lean in right here because I am you. Let's talk to guys for a second. Praying and fasting isn't what monks do. Praying and fasting isn't what priests do. Oh, that's a spiritually elite. Like the Navy SEAL Christians, the guys who are really serious. That's what they do. And we do that. Like prayer and fasting. Lean in. Prayer and fasting is what the people of God have engaged in for thousands of years. There's nothing more opposite to our loud, crazy culture than making a practice of praying and fasting in your life. It's not for the crazy, super spiritual people of God. It's for the people who walk with God. It's for people who walk with God. So let me explain a couple things. 2 years ago, winter COVID 2021, we started in January, 21 days of prayer and fasting. We're going to kick it off this January, January the 11th. 3 days. We're going to give you some time to choose something to fast from and to raise our level as a church of praying. We're kicking it off January the 11th. It was so forming in my life 2 years ago, and it formed our church. We have come back to it the last 2 years until God tells us to do something different. As we begin a new year, we're choosing something we fast from, you individually, and, right, lifting the level of prayer. So let me explain fasting for some of us, because the idea of intentionally, like, whoa, it's crazy, hold on. Fasting is simply the idea of putting into practice saying to God with our body, with our appetites, and with our minds, not just our words, here's what we're saying: I need you more than I need this. It's what fasting is. It's the practice of saying to God with our body, with our appetites, and with our desires, I need you more than I need this. Fasting is saying no to the natural to invoke the supernatural. I need you to lean in. Fasting isn't saying no to bad things. Fasting is saying no to the natural things of life. Just things that we naturally do for a season. See, what we do in America, you and I, we don't say no to anything. We just choose at different times and consume everything. It's so opposite. Why in the world would you say no? We'll just watch it online later. We'll just get there later. We'll just catch it. We try that time-shifting culture. We don't say no to anything. I'm not pointing. I'm raising my hand. Right? And so fasting, the idea of intentionally saying no to something that's not evil, but it's natural. What do you mean? Biblical fasting is about a specific period of time. We're calling it 21 days, where we say no to something, right, that we are used to maybe experience God in a way that we're not used to. That was good. Let me say it one more time. It's saying no to something we are used to for a specific period of time to maybe experience God in our personal lives in a way that we're not used to. That's what fasting is. For some of us, it's one meal a day. Some of us, it may be sugar, it may be caffeine. Right? Here's what I'd say. We have an app. The Bethlehem Church app has all kind of ideas because we think it's for everybody. We think it's for everybody. Some of us, it's sun up to sun down, maybe a meal, maybe caffeine, maybe sugar. In my life, and I'm not going to get into explaining what fact, because it's supposed to be personal, but I will tell you there's a food element and there's a technology element. There's a food element that I'm going to engage in for 21 days, and there's a screen element. There's a technology. Why? Because both of these things are natural parts of my life. This is so natural to you, it's second nature. This is so natural to you, it's second nature. I am saying no to a few things, both with food and screens, that may not be bad, but they're so natural, I want to say no to them to invoke this. Do you get it? That's what we're saying. Now, the second piece, let me give you one more helpful criteria when you're choosing what to fast. One more helpful criteria when choosing what to fast. If it doesn't mean something to you, it won't mean anything to God. Some of you health guys, I already do intermittent fasting. I'm just going to make that now, bro. Come on, relax. That's for you. Keep doing that. That's not what I'm talking about. Right? That you would make a choice. That you would make a choice. And then prayer. Right? We want to intentionally raise the level of prayer as we begin a new year. And so on Wednesday nights, January 11th, 18th, and 25th, we're going to have 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock in this room, the 316 room, worshiping the Word. It's like I grew up in a time where you went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Anybody remember those times? Now it's like, that's crazy thinking. What in the world? I know, it's nuts. Trust me, it's nuts. But what we're going to do is once a week, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, we're going to gather here at the 316 campus, all of our campuses, and we're going to pray, worship together in the middle of the week. So we kick off. You're invited. It'll be online as well, only from 7 to 8. Well, why can't we do it at all the campuses? Well, if you haven't heard, we have space problems, okay? And at the campuses, our student ministry uses the worship center on Wednesday nights. Here, they're going to use the south venue while we use this room. But we're just inviting, what we're saying, be in at least one Wednesday night, the next three Wednesday nights, be in person. No child care student ministry will be happening. Or watch online from 7 to 8. But listen to me, this will not be on demand. This will be a live broadcast. And let me answer, because I get this question a lot. Why does sometimes y'all not make things live broadcast? Or why do y'all not put things on? Because every Sunday, this service is online all week for you to watch. Some of you are watching me Thursday right now. Hey, what's going on, right? It's all good. It's on YouTube. It's online, right? It's all good. We want to do that. Serves you. People are busy. You're out of town. All that. But there are some times in our time-shifting culture that we need to say no to something to say yes to something else. We don't do that anymore. It's crazy thinking. Why in the world would you do that when you can do it all? You can't do it all. So 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock for the next three Wednesday nights, you can make a choice. You can watch online. You can be here in the room, and we're just going to worship and pray, keep going through Romans 12. Be 1 hour. Kids can come in if you're like, I don't have childcare, whatever. But you're invited to that. We want to intentionally make this choice and raise our antenna. And what we've seen, if you are constantly being formed and your life is never free from the conflict that's at wage, you make choices. We want to raise our antenna in this season as a church as we begin a new year, individually fasting and praying together corporately as a body. You're invited to that. Again, we'll kick this off, all of it, the fasting and prayer, January 11th, 3 days. So you go home, talk about it with your family tonight. Everybody, we're all invited. It's all skate, man. Everybody's invited. All right, want to do this. And let me give you a picture. Here's the third thing, and we're done. The picture is living sacrifice. That's the word Paul uses in Romans 12:1. What do you mean picture? That word living sacrifice was a picture, and here's what it meant. Daily making the choice of what I will live for and what I die to. So, leave this up with me, Nicole, for a minute. Living sacrifice. Those two things are opposite. You will not find them in a scripture anywhere else, these two words put together. Paul says, in light of all the things that God has done, in view of all of God's mercies and his goodness in your life, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And that word living and sacrifice, when Paul uses that word, the people who first read this imagery would come into their mind. It was Old Testament temple language imagery. Old Testament temple language, like the temple language of sacrifice in the Old Testament. What you will see is I'm going to do a very elementary teaching of it right here. But there would be times of years when the worshipers would come to the temple and they would kill an animal, shed the blood. We sang about the blood a few minutes ago. Shed the blood of an animal to atone and let God know they understand the weight of their sin. Take the animal to an altar, shed the blood. The blood would be spilled to see the, again, it sounds crazy to us, but it was holy act, right? In the word sacrifice, they would literally kill, make sure I get this, kill an animal, or there would be whole burnt offerings. They would bring the best of their flock, a sheep without blemish. And they would offer it, and the whole body of that sheep would be consumed with fire because the holiness of God devours our sin and we make a sacrifice. So we know in the New Testament, this is where it gets good, Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. All those Old Testament sacrifices, that pictures that we see, points to Jesus and his sacrifice, his blood that was shed for us once and for all. But that language of sacrifice in the Bible always dealt, I want you to listen to me, with killing or dying. Like that language, don't miss this, dealt with killing. When the word sacrifice, the original context was killing or dying. And so they see the word living sacrifice. Those are opposites. A sacrifice has been killed or dead. Living, no. And he says, your body is that living sacrifice. See, we use the word sacrifice in our society a lot, but we kind of lessen it. We lessen it. What do you mean? Like right now, if you're to Google sacrifice, like you Google it right now. Some of you fact check me. So feel free. Google the word sacrifice meaning. It will have the words killing or dying there. Now, we use the word sacrifice a lot in our society, but we have a lessened version of it. What do you mean? Not sure you heard or not. There's a big football game in Los Angeles tomorrow playing. Y'all know about that game at all, right? Y'all been waiting for me to get around to it, okay? Go Dogs, right? And so, my black and red right here. Hold on, I knocked my mic off. Hold on. So, right, Go Dogs. Now, last year, after I preached this service, I was on my way to Indianapolis. This year, I'm on my way down the road to my house. I'm not going. I'm watching with you online. All right? Online. So last year, Indianapolis, I could make it. L.A., couldn't do it. And so all this to say, here's what you're going to hear tomorrow night at the end of the game. Either coach, whether it be Coach Smart or Coach Dykes, whichever coach. Obviously, we're pulling for Georgia. But if the other team wins, they're going to – man, at the end of the game, everybody celebrating. What are you proud of? What are you most proud of? Guarantee it. Man, these boys have worked hard since January last year. These boys have been working hard. They've made a lot of sacrifices. And that's right. That's true. What they're saying when they said that is they said no to a lot of things they could have said yes to experience this. That's what they say. So that's true. That's our understanding of sacrifice in our society. Say no to say yes. Biblically, that's not. Biblically, the word sacrifice means to kill, to die. You're killing something. You're dying something, right? So then go back to living sacrifice. What does that word actually mean? Here it is. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This, then, is your spiritual act of worship, holy and pleasing to God. Well, what in the world does that mean? Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. So when I am understanding that at all times I am being conformed, I am being molded by this world, but I am making choices to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, that, my friends, is you living as if your life is a sacrifice. When I am willing, dying and killing things in my life that are the natural pattern of this world, why? Because I want to experience the transformation that happens inside. That's what it means. When I live my life with the understanding my life is not my own, I live in a world and I make different choices at times because I am killing parts of myself. I am dying to part, right, to become alive, to be a living sacrifice, that I'm aware that there's two forces constantly fighting each other and my choices are never neutral. And I'm also aware, listen to me, back to the very beginning, everything is spiritual and it all matters to God. You see it? What does it mean to be a living sacrifice? Your choices are never set apart from that. You want to tell you how you're going to experience 2023? If God gives you the breath of life, let me tell you how you experience 2023 the exact same way you experienced 2022. So you're like, oh man, no, I want a better year. You're going to experience 2023 the exact same way I'm going to experience it. What do you mean? A day at a time. Hour by hour. Week by week. Breathe it in. Breath by breath. And a living sacrifice means your life is never devoid of the choices you make. Why? My friends, you don't live in a neutral world. It's taking you somewhere. Now, I don't know who said this, and I end like this. I don't know who said this. I would give you, when I find something I like, I give credit to the person right out there. But I don't know who said this. It's unknown. But I loved when I was studying this week. Guy said this. Again, the author's unknown. Know where it was. He just said this. Here's a problem with the living sacrifice. The problem with living sacrifices is they keep crawling off the altar. It's day by day. It's hour by hour. It's week by week. A dead sacrifice, guess where it's going? Nowhere. Dead. You, my friend, are a living sacrifice. What defines your life like that? The choices you make. The choices you make. Will you stand with me across all of our campuses? Let me pray for you. So there's a practice I've had to put into practice in my own life. I want us to do it for a second. We're going to do it on these Wednesday nights. But just for a second, I want you to breathe in. Just think about breathe. I know you're about to go get your kids. You're about to get in traffic. You're about to see the cop not let you go the way you want to go and make you go the other way. So all that's about to happen. So let's just, before our mind goes there, head bowed and eyes closed, I just want you to breathe in for a second. I want you to breathe in presence and breathe out pace. The presence of God, the pace of life. I want you to breathe out performance and breathe in acceptance. I want you to breathe out for just a moment, hurry. And breathe in peace. You are being conformed to the patterns of this world. You are being molded by the patterns of this world. We are saying as a body to you, God, we want to put ourselves together collectively. We want to go the opposite direction. So I pray you give this church, my brothers and sisters, my friends, you're real clear about what their fast is. And God, that we engage the presence of God by maybe praying in a way we never have before. Not because it's a sacrifice that's pleasing to you. The sacrifice has already been done by Jesus Christ, but because it's us offering our life as a picture that our life is not our own. And so when we make choices, we make choices to step in and to step out. Step into the presence of God, step out of the pace of this world. Step into the moment, step into the meaning, step out of the mess.